either one well anyhow, so.
It's showing up in the reels, but it's not showing up like regular streaming.
Huh. I'll have to check. It showed it was on live, but operator error. Okay, let's start with the statement this morning, which means as believers, we profess to be children of the Lord. God's standards now have become our standards of living. Amen? That wasn't very mean. That wasn't a very strong amen. So let me ask you this then. If that's the case, how do we know what God's standards are? So we learn what God's standards are through the study of His Word. So there's another. That's part of the process of living for the Lord. So now I'm going to ask another question then. Then, are we going, in our life in Christ, how are we going to live according to God's standards? So if we learn them through the Word of God, then we're going to begin to live them through obedience to that Word that we have learned. And we only can do this as we follow after the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So all of these things we have acquired from God. So that means everything that we do in our life, that God's standard, if they're made clear to us through His Word. And so the only way that we don't follow after the standards of God, the only way that they're not clear to us through the Word of God, is when we follow after our fleshly, worldly desires. Those things that God does not want to be a part of our life. So, we do not live according to our own efforts. Even though we try, we try very hard in our life to live according to our own efforts, but we do not live according to our own efforts, because if we do, then we can never follow after God's standards, because they're going to be impossible to follow. We can only do it through the leadership and guidance that comes from Him. So, having a willing desire to live according to God's standards can only come as we learn to follow after His purpose and His plan for our life. So one of the things that we have gained through our salvation is this, the completeness of this indwelling Holy Spirit. And one of the things that it says that the Holy Spirit does for us is the fruit of that Spirit that comes with us. And there's 9 different characteristics that it talks about over in Galatians, what this fruit of the Spirit is. And those are the things that help us to live according to the standard of God. So we don't earn it. It's a free gift. This is something that God freely has given unto us. So that means that if it's freely given unto us, then we freely give to others. Amen? This is part of what living by God's standard is all about. So we must learn to live in this forgiveness. So God forgave us, so then we are also to forgive one another. So in the book of Ephesians, let me go read you a verse of Scripture over in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 32. Here's what it says. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here's where we're at in our life. Because here's what we want to talk about this morning, is we want to learn a little bit about the forgiveness of God. So here's where we're at in our life. Everyone at some point in time seeks after forgiveness from somebody else. That's just a given in our life. So all of humanity desires some kind of forgiveness, but yet is incapable of receiving that forgiveness. The only way that we can receive forgiveness in our life, it first must come through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So when we're looking at that in our life, without Christ, there is no forgiveness. Now, there might be a thing where something happens in your life and you say, oh, I forgive you or you forgive me. But without Christ, there is no true forgiveness. It must come through Christ. So why is forgiveness then? Why is it so difficult in our life as a believer? And we're going to learn what forgiveness is all about here in just a minute. It is because we do not know how to forgive. It doesn't matter what we have. We do not know how to forgive because we have never come to the understanding in our life of just how much has been given in order to forgive us. That is what we need to come to understand in our life. So why can we not do this in our life? If you just back up a verse in Ephesians, he says, here's why we can't do it. He says it's because of bitterness. It's because of wrath. It's because of anger. It's because of clamor. It's because of evil speaking. He says if we do not put these things away, then we're never going to learn to understand what true forgiveness is all about. So we live in a world, and this is the world that surrounds us. We live in a world that encourages self-satisfaction. Alright? And with that, self-satisfaction comes self-righteousness. And from self-righteousness comes what? Comes sinful attitudes and behavior. This is the world that we live in. So we should not, no one should think that kindness and forgiveness is not something that is optional. As a believer, it is not optional. Just because your worldly emotions tell you that, you can either forgive or you can't, it don't really matter. With God, it's not an option. It is something that is instructed. Something that we are supposed to be doing, and if it's instructed, then I can tell you it's a requirement from God. And if we don't think that it's not a requirement as a believer, then we're going to learn what the consequences of not being part of God's forgiveness is all about. So in the book of Matthew, we're going to go over into Matthew, and I'm going to read you a story, and it's kind of lengthy, so bear with me, but I want you, and we're not going to talk about the whole story, but what I want you to do is I want you to go back and study this a little bit later on, because here's what we need to know. We need to see what God's Word, how it explains forgiveness to us, what forgiveness is all about. So in Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 21, and we're talking about Peter here, and he says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Okay, well, Peter's going to learn that that's not how it works, but for the time being, and he says, and Peter said, should I forgive him seven times? He just pulled that number out of the air. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Forgiveness is an unlimited characteristic of God. If it was not an unlimited characteristic of God, you and I would not be saved today. So it is an unlimited characteristic of God. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, so that payment might be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee everything. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him all his debt. But that same servant, now pay attention, because let's read the rest of this story. He says, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee everything. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant said what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desiredest me to do so. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was done unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So, now we're going to learn to understand that forgiveness is something that is given endlessly. It is unlimited. Therefore, it should be an endless gift of love that we give unto others. So we're going to learn this. We're going to learn that forgiveness isn't just saying, well, you tell me you're sorry and I'll say I forgive you. That's not what this is all about. So he said, so we understand that our sin debt, it was paid in full by Christ on the cross. Okay? Do we understand that? And we believe that and we have accepted that. We also understand that there is no part of any of that debt that Christ paid, there is no part of that that we could ever repay to God. We do not have anything within us that would repay that kind of a debt. Nor can we earn it. We can't do anything to earn that because it is a free gift. Now, why does the Bible always talk about salvation as a free gift? Because a free gift is given unto us. A free gift has been received by us. So therefore, a free gift must be given what? By us unto others. It's free. There is no other way to explain that. So all forgiveness that is shown unto other people should be in the same like proportion that God has shown unto us. So what does that mean? That means that there is nobody in this world that we should hold any kind of strife or bitterness against in our life. All right? So this is what forgiveness is about. So our sins have been forgiven. Our sin debt has been paid. And when we are supposedly, we feel like we're offended by others, we should be willing to forgive, but with a heart of compassion because of the grace that we ourselves have received from God. That is the understanding that we must learn. Now, if you back up just a little bit in chapter 6 of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Let me read you a couple of verses there. Chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, let me give you an understanding that first of all, you have nothing within you that can offer up the kind of forgiveness that God gives. We just can't do it. It is not there. So keep in mind that our eternal destiny is not based upon our forgiveness to others. Our eternal destiny is based upon God's forgiveness unto us. But everything that God commands us us to do if we are not obedient unto Him, then it damages our relationship with God. So if He has commanded us to offer up forgiveness, then that is what we should be doing in our life. So through the teachings of the Word of God, we are instructed to forgive. And we willingly receive those things from God, so we should be willing to give those things that God has given unto us. Now, in that same chapter, in verse 12 of chapter 6, you remember when Christ taught His disciples how to pray, one of the things that He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive others." It's a package deal, all right? This is what He was trying to explain in the story that we read, that it's a package deal. Asking God for forgiveness when we sin, it is a command given unto us through the instructions of His Word, and it's something that we must give in return unto others. So in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25, here's what He says. Mark 11:25. He says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive." All right? "Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Now let me try to explain this just a little bit better. We cannot forgive sins. Okay? We cannot forgive sin. So there was a little bit of confusion here. "Lord, you told me when I stand praying, I've got to forgive." But it's not giving forgiveness of sins. It means that we are commanded. Now pay attention to this, because this is what true forgiveness is. We are commanded as believers, as children of the Lord, we are commanded to turn over to the Lord any resentment, any bitterness, any strife, anything that we might have towards one another, we are commanded to turn that over to God. So that means if you are waiting for somebody to come and say, "I'm sorry," you may wait, the old expression is, till the cows come home, and you may never get it, and you may be mad about that for the rest of your life. And whose fault is that? It's not their fault, it's our own fault, because we don't expect forgiveness from somebody else. We turn those things over to God. And we allow God to take care of that bitterness in our life. We allow God to take care of that resentment that is in our life. That is how we offer forgiveness to one another. We offer forgiveness to one another by giving it to the Lord. When you stand praying, forgive, meaning I turn that over to God. "Lord, I felt like somebody done me wrong." I've had people tell me before, "I go to church every day, I'll never get saved in that church because so-and-so made me mad one day." Well, when you stand before the Lord one of these days, you give Him that excuse and see what He has to say about it. He'll say, "You should have turned that resentment over to me." That has nothing to do with them. That has everything to do with us in our life. When we stand praying, you better be praying and you better be turning everything over to God. Because that's what God wants us to do in our life. It is not our place to judge. And it is not our place to pass judgment. But it is our place to confess to God. In 1 John chapter 1. You guys, I've quoted this so much you all know it by heart. 1 John chapter 1. And let's just read verses. Let's start with verse 8. And here's what he says. "If we say that we have no sin," that means if we're standing before the Lord and we can't forgive, and we're blaming somebody else for all the things that are going wrong in our life, we have sin. And he said, if we're standing before God and we say that we have no sin, here's what he says. The only person you're deceiving is yourself. He said, we deceive ourselves. And he said, the truth of the Word of God is not in us. We are disobedient to the Word of God. But he says, If we confess, now this is talking to the believer. A lot of people think this is talking to the sinner and he's got to confess it. This is not talking to the sinner, because when you were saved, you never had to confess one sin to God. All you had to do was confess that God, through His Son, the shed blood of His Son, redeemed you and paid your sin debt. That's what you confessed. But now that you're saved, He said, we must confess our sins. And those things that are hindering our relationship with God, we have to confess those things to God. God already knows it. It's already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you got to confess it. You got to tell Him, Lord, here, I'm standing before You and I'm offering up forgiveness. Okay, now we're learning what that means. We're turning everything over to God. Not Lord, I'm going to be the bigger person and I'm going to forgive them. How many points do you think that got you in heaven? Zero. I'm offering up my forgiveness. I'm turning this bitterness over to You. I'm turning all of these things that are in my life that they're not pleasing unto You. I'm confessing my sin to You. And He said when we do that, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Those things in our life that are not pleasing unto God. And if we say we have not sinned, then we've made Him a liar, because we're being disobedient to the truth of His Word. His Word is not in us. So, asking God for forgiveness of our sins is asking us to restore us in our relationship with Him. That's where we got to be. I need to be restored in my relationship with God. And if I'm doing this and I'm withholding forgiveness from somebody else, meaning if I haven't turned this over to the Lord, then what does that make me? That makes me somebody without the truth of God's Word within me. In 1 John, let's just back up. We'll go on down into the second chapter, verse 3 of 1 John. And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And He saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments. He is a liar and the truth is not in Him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as Christ walked. Okay? So, any sin that we feel has been committed against us, and we, even though we're believers, we think people do stuff against us all the time. And now I've got a chip on my shoulder and I'm going to be mad and I'm not going to talk to them. I know family members or relationship that went for years and years and years without talking to one another because so-and-so said something to me that I didn't like. And I'm just not going to forgive them. I can tell you, no matter what you think that you've had done to you, there is no comparison to what you've already done to God. Okay? No comparison. Because when we sin against God, there is just no comparison to anything that people do to us in the world. God forgives us for so much and we forgive others for so little. And we just live our life according to that. And God does not want that to be. In the book of Colossians, now you guys ought to know this because this was part of your Sunday school lesson this morning. In the book of Colossians, but this was a really good verse. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and the 13th verse, here's what he said. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. What does that mean? That means that we're not just to turn these things over to God, but now we're to go to those people and we're going to show compassion. We're going to show God's love. We're going to show generosity. We're going to show them that we're patiently, we're enduring whatever it is. And we're going to continue to endure those things because that's what God wants us to do. All right? Forgiveness is putting up with the changing attitudes, starting with this attitude that changes moment by moment. So I can tell you, if you know your attitude changes moment by moment, how do you feel about the people around you? But we're going to learn. We're going to learn to take those things to the Lord, and we're going to learn to have patience and endurance, so that one of our greatest incentives that we find is based upon the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, and that is that God forgave us. God forgave us. It was a free gift. It was eternal, and now we're expected to show that free gift and give that free gift unto others. That's what giving forgiveness is all about. In the book of Hebrews, here's what he said. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." What does people remember most about you? What do you remember most about others? Their sins and their iniquities. You'll remember that way longer than you'll remember the good things that they've done for you in your life. One little thing will erase everything else. God said, "I don't remember that." So let's ask ourselves this question then. If our forgiveness is not a sincere forgiveness, then is it really and truly forgiveness? No. If we have not turned that over to the Lord first, then it didn't do no good to go to whoever it was that you thought wronged you. Because it's only sincere when we first give it to the Lord. An unforgiving spirit is a spirit that is not, let me say that louder, is not pleasing unto God. "Well, so-and-so done it to me." What did Peter say? "Lord, how many times? So-and-so done it to me." Peter said that 7 times, and the Lord said, "You can say it 70 times 7 times, and it doesn't matter. I don't care if so-and-so done it to you or not. It's your life I'm looking at. It's my life God's looking at. He'll take care of so-and-so. That's up to God." So if we are unwilling to give mercy and forgiveness unto others, then we just don't have a good understanding of what our relationship with God is all about. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, that's the last verse I'm going to read you. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Here's what he says. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," okay, "ye which are spiritual," now, just because you claim to be spiritual, doesn't, what this means is, if you claim to be spiritual, then you've already went to the Lord. and you've said, Lord, I've been bitter. I need all the. He said, once you've done that, then he said, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou also be tempted. So if we haven't went to the Lord, if we haven't turned those things over to God, if we haven't offered up our forgiveness through God, then he said, more than likely when you go, you're going to end up in the same boat. And your boat's just going to be that much madder at one another. So he said, lest thou also be tempted. And here's what he said. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the word of God. God's love, you're going to find out that God's love will prosper more in your life when we learn to forgive than it will before that. Because if we dwell upon all these other things that are going on around us, if we allow these things to continue to take place in our life, then it's going to separate us, not just from a relationship you might have had with somebody in your life, but it's also going to separate you in your relationship with God. It's going to hinder that relationship. If you've got a hindered relationship with somebody in your life, and it is something that is not pleasing unto God, then it is hindering your relationship with God. And I would encourage you to fix it. And it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you to do that. And it's very hard for me to go do it myself. But those are relationships that need to be fixed, because those relationships were founded upon the grace of God. And those relationships can only continue to strive according to the grace of God. So what is our primary goal as a believer? It's to show love. It's to show compassion. It's to be in unity. And it's to encourage one another in the body of Christ. It's to encourage one another to grow closer in a right relationship with God. And as we begin to do that in our life, as we begin to learn to do this in our life, then we're going to start learning what it means to give forgiveness. And to give forgiveness has to start here, with turning those things over to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts. Lord, sometimes your lessons are hard, but we thank you for the truth of your word, Heavenly Father. And we would just pray that as we see those things, as you show us those things in our life, Lord, and we know that they're not pleasing unto Thee, that you will give us the strength, Lord, along with the ability, Lord, to come to you so that you might lead us to others, Heavenly Father, so that those strained relationships in our life, Lord, can be fixed and corrected, Heavenly Father. So that, Lord, we'll be able to show to one another the love and the compassion that you so freely give unto us, Heavenly Father. Lord, so that our relationship with you, Lord, might shine forth to all of those that we come in contact with in the world. We just pray this day, Lord, that you help us to follow after your leadership, your guidance, We pray for wisdom, for knowledge as we study your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give us the understanding that we need to allow our light to shine forth so that others may see your goodness within each and every one of us. Please forgive us, Heavenly Father, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Bible study Thursday evening. Is this, what Bible study is this?
I don't know.
We're still here, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're talking about...
Last week.
That's right. So you're, a little bit of this will come up in Bible study because we're talking about patience with those that we cannot bear because they are evil.
So patience with those that are evil?
Just patience is fine.
Patience.
I love
that. Huh? You love it?
Yeah. Keep me on.
And remember, coming up during the month, we'll have on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and I cannot remember his name, but we'll be over Big Isaac. The Jewish gentleman will be there speaking, which should be really, really interesting. They're a Saturday this month, the 26th. Over at Pastor Elizabeth's church at Salem, Glory Way will be singing. They got some other stuff going on, but anybody that wants to go, she'll more than welcome
you.
Yes.
And food and
so that should be really good. That should be really good as well. Okay. Anybody else have anything this morning? If not, we're going to stand and praise the Lord three times.